Okay, good morning. So it's wonderful to be here. I thank you, Roger, for the invitation. I actually met Roger at the Women's Aglow about 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And so he asked me if I had any free Sundays, if I could come and speak to you here. And the first thing that I want to say is how much I can feel the presence of God, even when I was just setting up and everything. The presence of God is so strong in this place. And as we were just worshiping, especially that song just before the last one, I'd never heard that song before, actually, about Jesus is coming. But there was something so really, really powerful that just seemed to be bringing the presence of God more and more at that particular time. And so I want to encourage you, there is an open heaven in this place. And I just really felt that God was saying that people are going to come into this place, and the minute that they set their feet through the door, there is going to be healing and miracles and deliverance and changed lives that is going to take place, because it's almost like you have a pool, like a pool of Bethesda, like a well of living water in this place, and people are just going to come into this place, and they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good, and they're going to set their feet into that well, into that healing pool that is in this place. And you're going to see like an explosion of the Spirit of God just flowing through this place. Lord, I just pray that into being right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We say, Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. We thank you for the open heaven. We thank you for the wells of healing and revival that are in this place. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The presence of God is very strong in this place. And so be encouraged, because that means that God is really going to do something. He really has a plan for you in this place. My name is Anne. I am an ordained Pentecostal pastor down in Norfolk, but I also have my own ministry called World Arise Ministries, and that's where I travel around different places. And the last 3 weeks I've been traveling around the north of England, and God has been doing amazing, amazing things. And we're believing that right here this morning, God is going to do even more greater and wonderful things. So I want you to just open up your heart and just allow the Lord to just come and just minister to you. I will give an opportunity if you want prayer at the end as well. So do respond if you feel that you just need a fresh touch of the Lord. Because God says he will confirm his word with signs following. So we're believing today that if you're sick, you're not going to leave sick. You're going to be healed in the name of Jesus. If you're here and you're feeling like you're a bit lost, you don't know quite the way, we're going to pray that God will have a word just for you today. If you're feeling like you're just bound in some way, you know what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, and those chains can be broken today in the name of Jesus. And you can go out in a fresh joy, just as it says up there, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. May love, joy, and peace come upon your life today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, I just want to thank you for this time, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord, that you will just move by your Spirit in this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are here, Lord. You are here, and you are waiting. You are hovering, Lord, over this place. You are hovering, Lord, over your people to perform your word. And I want to pray right now, Lord God, you would open up our hearts. You open up our spiritual minds, Lord God, and you will speak through me, Holy Spirit, what is on your heart, Lord, for each and every one of us. And God, we will give you all the praise, and we will give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. At the beginning of this year, the Lord began to speak to me about how he was going to send winds of change. Winds of Change. And I was so excited when I came in and I picked up one of your newsletters, and I haven't read it yet, but I just saw the article, Winds of Change. And isn't it so encouraging when you hear something from God, and then it's like you begin to see the confirmations of it as well? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear from God, but then you kind of think, did I really hear from God? And so God just sends us these little encouragements so that we know, yes, we are hearing from God. And I believe that if we're walking with the Lord and we're seeking Him as best as we can, I believe the majority of the time we are hearing from the Lord. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't ever hear from the Lord. And then they say, oh, but I just had this idea. And I'm like, oh. Because we have a wrong concept sometimes of what hearing from the Lord is. We think that hearing from the Lord is like a big booming voice that's coming from the sky somewhere. And let me tell you, if God spoke to you like that, you would be so terrified, you'd never want to hear the voice of God again. And most of the time, God speaks through the still small voice in your heart. And sometimes it comes like an idea. Oh, I just thought that maybe I would go and visit Sister So-and-so. And then you get there and you find that exactly she needed to see you today. So God speaks to us in that still small voice, and often it does come as we think it's an idea. We think it is just us. But if we're walking with the Lord, then I believe a majority of the time. You remember when Elijah was running away from Jezebel, and he wanted to hear the voice of the Lord. He was like, Lord, you know, what is happening? And then it says there was a mighty earthquake and all kinds of different things, but God wasn't in that. But then he heard a gentle whisper. So God speaks to us in so many different ways. So God began to show me that in this season, there's going to be winds of change, and there's going to be winds of restoration that's going to come. And he led me to Exodus 10, where the locusts, I'm not going to actually read that particular passage because I've got another passage we're going to make our main thing, but I'm just giving you like just a foundation of what I believe God is saying. So he led me to Exodus chapter 10, where one of the plagues that came upon Egypt was a plague of locusts. And if you read the story, you will find that Moses goes out, he lifts up his hand, and it says that God sent an east wind. And the east wind brought the locusts. And throughout the word of God, you will see that the east wind is often used in judgment. And so the locusts came. Then Pharaoh began to repent and said, please take these locusts away from me. Now, I want you to get an understanding of what I believe God is saying, because we're not talking about natural locusts like it was in the plague. Because in Joel chapter 2, it says, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. So if we spiritualize this, then the locusts are the things that have been devoured from your life. And for everyone, it may be a different thing that has been devoured from your life. Maybe your health has been devoured. Maybe your children have been in problems. Maybe your marriage has been in problems. Maybe your finances have been in problems. Maybe your spiritual life has been in problems. And it's been devoured. And in this season of restoration, God is saying, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. And I want to encourage you that repaying is actually more than restoration. Because if you restore something, it means you put it back to what it was before. But repaying means added on compensation for all the years that the enemy stole from your life. So that's more. So going back to where I was talking about in Exodus 10, after Pharaoh said, I have sinned, please forgive me, please take away these locusts. Then it says that Moses went out, he prayed again to the Lord, and it said God changed the wind to a very strong west wind that carried away the locusts. So what I felt God was saying as he was sharing all of this with me was that if we will come to the Lord in sincerity of heart, He will change the spiritual wind that will carry away the locusts from our life and begin to bring restoration and repayment for the years the locusts have eaten. And as I was receiving all of this, I took time to ask the Lord, are you sure? Because many prophetic people were prophesying that this was the time of wars, this was the time of economic collapse, this was the time where there were going to be so many terrible things happening. And I said, but God, you're telling me it's a season of restoration. Now, I believe the two things can actually go side by side. Because God said in Isaiah 60, arise and shine when there is thick darkness upon the world, the glory of the Lord shall rise upon the church. So it can be that, yes, there are wars, there are famines, there are all the different economical things that we are seeing taking place. But in the church can be the glorious time. Because God wants, in the midst of the darkness, to release his glory upon his people so that we also become the light in the darkness. Amen. So it's not a contradiction that God is saying this is a time of repaying and restoration in the same time that we're seeing terrible things happening. God always, you know, during the time of COVID, actually became such a blessed time in my ministry when everything else was shutting down, but God began to accelerate me. And you know how, let me tell you this little testimony, because this was an encouragement of how God directs our footsteps. So we were in the middle of the COVID time. We were still in lockdown here in this nation. Then the Lord said to me, okay, now it's time to go to Uganda. Now, it was at the time when you had to, like, fill in forms of why you wanted to leave the country, you know? So anyway, so I went, and I was just going for 1 month or so, I thought. And I remember looking at my suitcase when my suitcase was packed, and strange how God sometimes gives you a sense without the whole thing, if you know what I mean. So I looked at my suitcase, and I said, Lord, I believe I'm going for 1 month, but... In other words, like I was willing, I was open, and people said to me, you know that this could go wrong, don't you? In other words, like, you know, you could get stuck somewhere. I said, well, I'm just in God's hands. So I went. When I got there, I'd been there maybe about 2 weeks, suddenly I had this idea, let me go to Malawi, because obviously I have a lot of work and projects in Malawi. And Malawi at that time was on the red list, and so there was no way that I would be able to get there if I went from UK. So this was my idea. You know, the Lord is, you know where it says that man plans, but God, you know? So I thought I worked out a beautiful plan, because Uganda at that time was on an amber list. Okay, if I fly from Uganda to Malawi, then I come back to Uganda and spend at least 2 weeks to avoid this, that thing where you had to go in the hotel, yeah? Quarantine thing, yeah. So if I come back to Uganda and spend at least 2 weeks, then fly to the UK from Uganda and don't mention anything about having been to Malawi. That was my plan. So off I go from Uganda to Malawi. After I'd been in Malawi about 2 weeks, all of a sudden, Malawi locked their borders, and Uganda also went on the red list. So I had no way back. But, you know, I left, I think it was in April. By the time I managed to get back to Uganda to connect my original ticket back to the UK, it was nearly Christmas. But you know, God was so faithful. He provided for the whole 8 months when I'd only gone for 1 month. And I'm not rich. I just rely upon, you know, people just donating, okay? So to go for 1 month and be sustained, and not just sustained, it was over and above. It was almost as if, you know, because people couldn't go on their holidays, they were sending their money to me. So for the whole 8 months, God totally sustained me. I was, during that time, I was seeing, you know, hundreds of people at a time coming to the Lord, healing, deliverance, miracles, all kinds of things. And I thought, Lord, I wouldn't have seen that if I'd have come back here. And when I was telling people back home, I think I'm stuck here. I was saying this in the beginning. I think I'm stuck here, so just bear with me. You know, I think I'm stuck here. In the end, people said to me, you are not stuck anywhere. You are exactly where God wants you to be. Yeah? And so, you know, when we walk with the Lord, it's an adventure. Sometimes it doesn't always work how we think it's going to work, but God always has his plan. And I'm sure that when I thought I'd got my perfect plan, God was laughing. Because the Bible says that, you know, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Yeah, they are ordered by the Lord. So I want to encourage you, walking with the Lord is never boring. So this is the scripture that the Lord laid on my heart today. It's about the valley of the dry bones in Ezekiel 37, because I believe that God wants to send a wind of revival upon us today. God wants to send a wind of restoration, but also a wind of lifting us into the place where we will be empowered to go out and do the things that God has for our lives. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Now, the literal translation is that the people were in exile, their temple had gone, their hopes had gone. And so the literal translation is it was speaking about the house of Israel being dry and their hope has gone. But I'm going to put it in a way that we can relate it to us. Sometimes we get to a place in our life where we feel dry and we feel like our hope has gone. And we feel like we are not as on fire as what we used to be. Maybe things have happened. Maybe there's been disappointments. Maybe there's been hurt. Maybe there's been criticism, opposition, all kinds of different things that have come against us. And we feel like we're dry bones. All our hope is gone. And Ezekiel was asked by the Lord, can these bones live? I want to ask you, can your bones live? Can your bones live? Today, God's going to bring you back to life again and put a fresh fire inside of you today, a fresh hope, a fresh vision inside of you today. And so Ezekiel says, I don't know. Lord, you're the only one that knows. And I like the Lord's response to that, because sometimes we say, oh, God, you're the only one that knows if my life can ever change. You're the only one that knows if I'll ever be healed. You're the only one that knows if, you know, this situation is ever going to turn around. And then God said in verse 4, prophesy to the bones and tell them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I want to encourage you that most of the things that God does is a partnership with us. He chooses to work with us and in and through us. So when Ezekiel was looking at the bones and saying, God, you're the only one that knows this hopeless situation, God says, no, you speak. Prophesy to the bones. And I want to encourage you that if you know the Lord and you know the word of God, you can take a hold of whatever situation you are passing through and you can begin to speak the word of the Lord over that situation. We don't just stand there, you know, let me take the example that maybe if you're sick, you've got some pain in your body. You don't just say, oh, you know, you're the only one that knows. No, you say, body, hear the word of the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. He sent forth his word and he healed me. So we begin to speak that word over our situation. If it's a financial lack in your life, you know, even get out your bank card, begin to speak to it. Begin to tell it, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And God says his word shall not return void, but shall accomplish what it is sent forth to do. So when you speak the word, do you know what? Those things, that bank card, it has ears. Your body, it has ears. And it has to listen and it has to respond in the spirit. So then it says, I began to prophesy as I was commanded, verse 7. And there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As Ezekiel began to prophesy and speak the word to the bones, I wonder what a strange sight that was. Ezekiel there in the valley, all the dry bones, and he's speaking to them. Hear the word of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. But as he did it, something began to happen. There was a noise. There was a rattling sound that began to take place. And I want to encourage you, when you begin to speak the word, and speaking the word is different from praying. When you pray, you're asking God to do something, but when you are prophesying, you are decreeing, you are declaring, you are taking the authority that God has given you, and you're enforcing that, you're speaking that, something begins to happen in the spirit. Suddenly there was a sound. Suddenly there was a rattling sound that took place. Then it says the bones began to come back together again. Now, the wonderful thing about the Lord is, he knows how to put everything in your life back into the right place. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. I want you to imagine all of these bones. Could you put them back together in the right place? Even if you were a doctor, maybe you have a problem. Yeah? Because if it was me, I would be picking up a leg bone and putting it somewhere, like, you know. So I often wonder, you know, as Ezekiel was speaking the word, prophesying to these bones, suddenly there was a noise. All the bones began moving, and suddenly they formed a person. God knows where everything in your life is supposed to be. And he knows how to put things back together again in the right place, in the right time, in the right way. But we have to speak in accordance with the will of God. They all came together. Flesh and tendons were on them, but there was no breath in them. That means everything looked good on the outside, but there was no life, there was no breath. You remember when God created Adam in the garden? Just took from the dust. That's all we are without God, just dust. But what made us to be a living being was when God went, breathe the breath of life. And maybe some of us have felt like, yes, we are together, but on the inside we know there's not that same breath of God that we once had. And we can pretend to other people, can't we? We know the Christian jargon. So we come to church and people say, oh, how are you? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. God is good. Well, yes, we know that God is good. But what about you? And maybe you were crying before you came to church, but then you come in, you don't want anybody to know. So you say, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. No breath. Looks good to everybody else on the inside. Maybe in your marriage, everything looks good on the outside. Maybe you come to church and people think that you must have the best marriage ever, but you know that when you go home and close the door, it's not like that. But God sees, and God cares, and God wants to bring breath back into those things that have died in our life. So then Ezekiel, he begins to prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them. They came to life, and they stood on their feet, a vast army. That seems to indicate that even though the bones had come back together again, they weren't standing before Ezekiel prophesied to the breath to come. Because it says they stood up, so obviously they weren't standing up before. You know, God is calling us to stand up in these times, to stand up for the truth, to stand up for the Lord, to stand up into who we are, who he's created us to be, to stand up into the call that he has for our life. And as the breath came, it says they stood up and they were a vast army. You know, it was the breath. It was the breath of revival. It was the breath of empowerment. It was the breath that lifted them onto their feet again. And it was the breath that made them a vast army. What did Jesus say before he went? He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait until you have received power. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will receive power. You remember they were... The disciples, like it, they didn't understand, did they? They said, oh, Lord, are you now going, when they saw him resurrected, oh, Lord, are you now going to set up your kingdom? They thought he was coming to be a natural king at that time. He says, not for you to know about those things, but you'll receive power. And you remember then they were all waiting in the upper room, weren't they? And suddenly a mighty rushing wind came. Tongues of fire came to rest upon them. And then the first meeting that they had, 3,000 people got saved. Hallelujah. Wouldn't we love to see that again? Yeah. Wouldn't we love to see that we get up and under the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to speak the gospel and people are cut to the heart? You know, it was one time when I was in Malawi and I was talking about, you know, real revival is about when people are cut to the heart and they say, what must we do to be saved? So then the next day we were just going into the kind of little village type place. Suddenly there's a man coming. He stops the pastor that's driving the car and he says, I need to be saved. And then the pastor said to him, you can come this afternoon. We are having a meeting at the church this afternoon. He knelt down on the ground. He says, no, I must be saved now. May God give us that spirit in this nation. May God give us that spirit. And I believe that God wants to breathe today fresh life into us for two reasons. He wants to breathe fresh life, that things that have died in our lives are going to come back together again. But also he wants to breathe fresh life so that we become a vast army. We stand up, we become a vast army, and we begin to go forth with power. And I'm going to pray for you today. I'm going to pray that God will release a fresh wind or the Spirit of God, a fresh anointing upon your life. But before we do that, I just want to tell you just maybe two or three testimonies from when I've just come back from Uganda just a few weeks ago, just to raise your faith. And I believe as someone here, you have something wrong with your knee. Your knee is very painful. God is going to heal you. You don't even need to wait until, you know, I give an invitation. You just put your hand and receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I was in one of the meetings and God just began healing people. And I said to the people, place your hand on the part of your body where you want to be healed. So then I just began to walk around and I noticed there was a man, he got his hand on his back. So I put my hand there, I carried on walking. Then I went back. Now I see this same man, his hand is now not on his back, but now his hands are raised and there are tears that are pouring down his face. I said, what is happening? I could tell he was just so overwhelmed. And he's saying, 15 years, 15 years. I said, what? He said, I have had a back condition for 15 years. He said, but right now I feel like God is stretching my back and all the pain is going. 2 days later, he came to testify that not only was he completely healed, but now he'd been offered a job because he couldn't work before, because he couldn't carry anything, he couldn't lift anything. But now he was completely healed. God totally transformed his life. Now, let me tell you this one before we pray. I was in one meeting. Sometimes in worship, the Lord leads me to dance. And I know that the anointing that God has put on me to dance is not just for my own worship, but that it opens like the heavens, it changes atmospheres. So I'm in this meeting. I only got halfway through what I was going to say, and suddenly the Lord just led me to pray and just begin to worship. So then I got up onto the platform, and I was just dancing on the platform. Other people also began just worshiping, kneeling down, or whatever they felt to do. Then I heard this testimony. There was a lady in that meeting, and she was pregnant, but the baby was lying the wrong way round in the womb. And this was her testimony. Now, I'm going to say exactly how she said it, so you need to know the meaning, okay? In Africa, they refer to us white people as Muzungu, yeah? That means a white person. So this was her testimony. She said, when that Muzungu pastor danced, my baby turned the right way round in the room. And you know what came to me? You remember when Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist and Mary was carrying Jesus and they met in the house? It says that the baby, John the Baptist, jumped in Elizabeth's womb. So what I believed happened is that that baby recognized the presence of God in that meeting, jumped, and as it jumped, put itself the right way around. You know, God is just an amazing, amazing God. And I could stand here and give you testimony after testimony. There was a lady in the village, she couldn't even walk, because she couldn't even stand up because of her knees. Her knees went the wrong way round or something. Anyway, so we prayed for her. And then it wasn't instantaneous, but then about a week later, I got photographs from the pastor. Now this woman was standing, she was walking. You know, God is amazing. God is amazing. And the thing is, what do you need him to do today? What do you need him to do today? He's coming today to bring fresh wind of his spirit upon your life. He's coming to bring fresh breath upon you, that the things that have died in your life will be resurrected. But also so that you can stand up and be a vast army. Can we just stand up for a minute? I'm just going to pray. Father, I just want to thank you. Just begin to open up your heart to the Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for the fresh winds of your spirit, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are resurrecting things that have died in our lives, Lord. God, you are coming today with a fresh breath of your spirit, Lord. A fresh breath of your spirit, Lord, to revive us, Lord, to restore us, Lord God, but also to make us part of a vast army that we will go. We will go wherever it is, God, that you may be sending us to go, Lord. We will go and we will proclaim your word and we will see you doing signs and wonders and miracles in and through our lives. If you want me to pray for you today for a fresh anointing, a fresh breath of the Spirit of God upon your life, I want you to come and stand here at the front, and I'm going to pray for you that God will release a fresh wind of his spirit, fresh anointing of his spirit. If you want me to pray for you, just come and stand here, and I'm going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands up to the Lord. Begin to hand to the Lord those areas of your life that maybe are dry. And you're saying, God, just need fresh breath today. Just need fresh breath today. Fresh breath. Lord, as your people are standing here today, Lord, I just want to prophesy to the bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. God has good plans for you. You are going to be at the top and not at the bottom. Restoration is coming into your life right now. Healing is coming into your life right now. Freedom is coming into your life right now. I thank you, Lord God, that when you hung upon the cross, you became a curse for us. I thank you that when you hung upon the cross, you took every condemnation, you took every sin, you took every sickness, you took shame, you took poverty. Lord, I thank you, you did it all, Lord. You did it all. And yes, as we've already read this morning, you said, come boldly, come boldly. Come boldly. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the dry bones will come back to life again. The dry bones come back to life again. The dry bones come back to life again. Let the dry bones come back to life again. Let there be a sound. Let there be a rattling sound. A rattling sound coming back together, back together, back together, back together, back together, back together. And Lord, I pray for the breath of God. Pray for the breath of God. Let the breath of God come and breathe. Come and breathe. Come and breathe. Oh, come and breathe that we may stand on our feet and we will be a vast army. We will be a vast army. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of God. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the breath of God.